Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The Criminal Assets Bureau, established in 1996 following the murder of journalist Veronica Guerin, has been seizing goods and money from gangs and individuals who are known to have benefited from the proceeds of crime. And its annual report has just been published. And to go through the main findings, I'm joined in the studio by Detective Chief Superintendent Michael Gubbins, who's Chief Bureau Officer at CAB. You're very welcome, Michael.
Morning,
Thanks
Claire.
Very
Thanks
much
very
for much. Coming in. I was reading at the weekend that you were saying more people are willing now to call up and report people they see in their community living beyond their means. Why do you think that is?
So we refer to those as good citizen reports. So we generally see that when there's some attention either through the media, through a programme like this, or as a result of the work that we do on Facebook or Twitter, that the public are more inclined to come forward to us and let us know about somebody in their neighbourhood, and they'll, you know, they can. It's funny, it's quite interesting actually. Some people will DM us on Facebook, Twitter, they'll email us, and then there's the old, good old fashioned people actually write a letter, handwritten letters or typed letters mm-hmm. that come into us. I think the message from CAB has been that it's for every district and every division in the country, and we've been telling people for a number of years now what to look out for and what to avoid, you know, what makes somebody stand out. They're a criminal that's living beyond their means.
Yeah.
And it is something that the Criminal Assets Bureau would be interested in. They've seen the results of our searches in the locality. You know, it's not unusual for the Criminal Assets Bureau to do a search in a town. And, you know, people walk by them and say, thank you, to them while they're on the search or just outside and that, you know. So we do get letters of appreciation and thanks. And you can see it on our Facebook and Twitter as well. But they write to the office as well to thank the Criminal Assets Bureau for the work that they've done in the community.
So someone might see somebody in their community with a very expensive car, or notice that they're going off on four holidays a year when really, according to what they're doing every day, they shouldn't be able to afford this. Is that the type of thing?
That's the type of thing, correct. Yeah, so somebody has an expensive car, they're living beyond their means, they're going on extravagant holidays, and you said it's a number of times a year. It's also the lifestyle, you know, it's the clothes that they wear, it's the jewellery that they have. But let's be honest, the community knows the people in their community. They know that Claire or Michael are criminals, and they know that the Criminal Assets Bureau is there. Its role and function is to deny and deprive these criminals of the criminally acquired assets. Mm-hmm. So people do contact us and let us know about those people.
And if somebody's making a call like that to you, a good citizen, as you say, do they have to make a statement? Do they have to get involved? You know, are they given a pulse number?
So the beauty of making a report to the Criminal Assets Bureau, it can be anonymous. So there's no statement required, and they don't have to give evidence in the Criminal Assets Bureau cases mm-hmm. that are taken to High Court.
So it's a tip-off.
It's a tip-off, basically. Yeah. And then we develop that further. We have what's called divisional asset profilers throughout the country. So we would task them then, say, would you have a look at Claire or Michael, and can you develop that a bit more for us? And then our own teams look at that as well. So it's not just a case of if you didn't like your neighbour and you rang in about them, there's a lot of validation and extra work put into it before we move on those people.
Would I know you were having a look at me now if you were checking out where my stuff had come from?
Not you, Claire, no. no, you don't, right? The first time that you will know that the Criminal Assets Bureau have an interest in you is when you get a knock on the door early in the morning.
Okay, so most of the work is done not through searching the house, but searching records.
There's
and searching bank statements.
There's a lot of work done beforehand. It's looking at the financials. It's looking at, you know, this person's lifestyle. Where did they travel to? What's, you know, what employment have they got? As you're aware, the Criminal Assets Bureau is made up not just of the guards, but also the revenue and social protection officers. So we get a lot of information that's there. And I suppose that's the beauty of the Criminal Assets Bureau. It brought all those islands of information together, which is Garda Síochána, revenue, customs and taxes, and social protection.
Mm-hmm. So, and you've extensive rights to look at somebody's finances, right?
We have indeed, yeah. But again, it's all subject to legislation and yeah. the courts and yeah. that, you know. And it is very considered before we make a move on someone, because we have an admissions group once a week that considers the facts around an individual before they're taken on as a target. Okay. So we're very considerate of that.
I know lots of people will be looking at us having a chat today as opposed to listening to us, but you brought in some items to show us the type of things that you've been seizing. Maybe start with the watches there, Michael, and show us what you have.
So I have two watches here, Claire. One is a gents watch, both are Rolex watches, a gents and a ladies watch. The gents watch retails somewhere in the region of €35,000. Right, you know, so it's not something that everybody's going to, right. to publish. And again, our clients and our targets, they like to show their money, they show their wealth. That's why they have the flash card. That's why they have the jewellery and to have the watches on their wrists.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they wear the clothes as well. Again, this lady's watch, it's a Rolex. To retail, it's 10,000. You can see there's some adornments on that. There's some being
diamonds
extra
on it
diamond stones added to it. Somewhere in the region of 10,000 euro. Again, so they've spent 20,000 euro on that watch approximately. But by doing those embellishments, sometimes it can devalue the watch. There's actually a whole, I suppose.
Because you've tampered with the original.
Correct,
I mean, it's
yes.
very nice. But I suppose, is it harder to find the ones who don't like to flaunt it?
It can be, yes. But when we go on a search, you'll generally find there will be some trappings of the wealth of, you know, they like to buy these ostentatious goods. They like to display it. That's the community that they live in. Mm-hmm. And they want to show it to their friends. This is what how they live.
Property is another way, Michael, that they use to spend the money, right?
Correct.
Is that increasing in popularity, would you say?
Yeah, we've seen it in some of our proceeds of crime cases that we've taken in the last few years, and in the number of properties that have been forfeited. There's an increase in, you know, they'll do up their own house. They put a lot of money into doing renovations and extensions on that. They may have rental property and they may have land around them or nearby them or in another part of the country as well. So we're seeing more and more of that. And for the cases last year, we've seen there's additional properties subject of our proceeds of crime files.
Okay, you brought in some handbags as well with high value. All the Chanels and the Louis
Chanels,
Vuittons.
I'm being educated in handbag language and brands. So here we have a Chanel bag, and I think it's a quilted bag. It's valued about 3,500 euro.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what you see here in front of you, sometimes it wouldn't be unusual to find all of this in one house.
Okay.
So it's not just
A one-off, yeah.
Yeah. And again, I have here another Chanel bag. I'm sure there's other people can give you the brands and the makes of that, and that's worth approximately 5,000 euro.
Okay.
I suppose the big one then is the Hermès bag.
That they're expensive now.
They are expensive, so you're familiar with the brand yourself. So that's
I don't have
six,
one.
That's 6,000, and but sometimes depending on the model of it, it can go up to 40,000 and maybe more. So you can see where these people are spending their money. But it isn't all watches and bags that we acquire. It's they've got cash in bank, they've got cash in hand. It's the properties as well, and it's their lifestyle payments that help us make our case under the proceeds of crime.
And cryptocurrency, that's a new one because we're all moving from cash to card, but the criminals are moving into cryptocurrency, and that's a huge challenge because you can't access it in some cases.
You're correct. Look, there's a case and it's reported in our annual report where we have somewhere in the region of 50 million euros worth of cryptocurrency, and while we have possession of it, we don't have the codes to realise it and return that money to the state. And it's something that we see a little bit more and more of. And again, our own people are skilled up on that and we're looking at ways of how can we increase our own knowledge and expertise and experience in that area. And we work with other law enforcement agencies to see how can we tackle this issue and that
must
problem.
Be hugely frustrating for you.
It is. But again, being a police officer, being involved in law enforcement, it's always a challenge. This current challenge is around the cryptocurrency. But as you can see here this morning on this display, they also display this type of wealth so we can go after those. The cryptocurrencies, we're aware of them. We look for them when we go on searches. And we have had success in being able to realise some cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm. Now, you will auction off this stuff eventually. Is that what
That's
happens?
That's correct. Yeah, so it's auctioned off.
Mm-hmm. And then the money goes back into state coffers.
That's correct, yes.
Show me the jacket because that's really interesting. This is the Moncler jacket. Now, these things are hugely expensive, Michael, and you see a lot of them around.
You do. This seems to be, I suppose, the brand of choice of some of our targets.
Moncler.
Moncler, yes. Mm-hmm. So this particular jacket retails for 1,500 euro. And you'll even see them being worn during the summer. And these are actually quite a cold weather jacket.
So they're a real status symbol. I think they're for very cold weather, aren't they?
They're
for
indeed,
people
yes.
who live in climates where it's, you know, minus 10, minus 15.
Wouldn't be as temperate as ourselves, but this seems to be a penchant.
It's a status symbol, yeah.
In our targets.
So you're seizing quite a few of those.
We are in those.
Okay. Now, in terms of the amount of money that you realised back to the state, just take us through the numbers, Mike.
So last year we returned 4.2 million under our proceeds of crime legislation, which also includes 2.1 under the revenue. There was 300,000 in recoveries from social welfare and 1.8 from the proceeds of crime from criminal activities. We also had a Section 24 of the Criminal Justice Act where there was a post-conviction forfeiture of over €1 million, and then there was over €5 million returned to the Federal Republic of Nigeria in relation to a Sani Abache case.
Mm-hmm. Are you pursuing many social welfare fraud cases?
So every target that we look at, so we have the options are there. Do we go after them under the proceeds of crime? Do we use the revenue and customs legislation, or do we use social welfare? So everybody is assessed underneath those categories. So we could go after Clare, proceeds of crime, but then there's also a social welfare element, or there could be a revenue web. We could use one or a mixture of the three.
Mm-hmm. Because what you're realising from that isn't significant in the context of everything else. I think you said 300,000 back to the state. Is that how you make your decision on how to use your resources? How much is this going to bring in?
So also on social welfare, there would also be savings and overpayments identified. So some, we might stop payments on yourself as well. So we mightn't get the recoveries, but future payments to you would be stopped in mm-hmm. relation to that. So it's a mixture of everything. It's not all. I suppose there's a number of factors taken into consideration. You know, we've got to look at the case. Is it proceeds of crime? Is it revenue? Is it social welfare?
Okay, but you're not looking at situations and going, well, the amount of money we can get back from this situation is going to determine how many resources we put into this.
No, if you look at last year, there was 31 new proceeds of crime cases taken, and a quarter of those were where the asset value was less than €25,000. So again, it speaks to the divisional asset profilers working in the country. It speaks to, it's the smaller criminals as well. It's not just the bigger ones. So we try to keep a blend and a mix of criminals. There are orders there for hundreds of thousands and even millions in on occasion. But I suppose we're trying to cover the whole gamut of criminality there.
How did the pandemic impact you?
So the pandemic impacted us like everybody else. We had to take a step back and worry about the security and the safety of our own staff, but then we also have to consider that we're going out into people's houses. So we did take account of the pandemic numbers and maybe cease doing searches and that for a while, and then we built up our own COVID protocols for our searches. So we proceeded again with the searches, but yes, we had to take account like everybody else about the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But
Can you give us a bit more detail on that Nigerian case that you mentioned, where the millions, it was over 5 million repatriated back to the Nigerian state?
So that came about because of Sani Abache and his family. They had basically taken 700 million out of the Nigerian coffers, and it had been money laundered throughout the world, and 5.5 million of that landed in an Irish financial institution in Ireland. We got a communication from the Department of Justice in the US. We then took a Section 2 proceeds of crime case on those funds. And then the Nigerian government came in and they took what's known as a Section 3 application on that, on foot of which the order was varied. And before the money's returned to them, there was a memorandum of understanding signed by the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, last year to allow for that money to be returned to the Federal Republic of Nigeria.
It's a huge sum of money.
Huge sums of money, yes.
So he was involved in the military. He was president of Nigeria,
That's
but a
correct,
military
yes.
general as well.
Absolutely.
And scarpered with...
Over 700 million.
Over 700 million, okay. And is that it? Is that all that came to Ireland as far as you're aware?
That's all that we're aware of, yes.
Okay. You need more staff, is that right? You're hoping to attract more staff?
So currently we have 99 people authorised for the staff of the Criminal Assets Bureau. And then we have a competition to bring those numbers up at the minute in relation to the Garda side. And there's constantly a churn there. And you might have seen in the annual report there, like, the Criminal Assets Bureau has been quite successful. And we have the Criminal Assets section of the Chief State Solicitor's Office that work with us. So I've made a business case along with the Criminal Assets section to get those resources, additional resources there to keep up with the work that the Criminal Assets Bureau itself is producing.
Okay, and that's been approved, has it? Because I know you went over budget, did you, in last year, and what you've been allocated? You went over by a million or so?
We did, yeah. We've got additional funding for this year. So we've budgeted 9.9 million. But the Criminal Assets section of the State Solicitor's Office, that's a separate budget that comes from...
You spoke there about lower level values that you're pursuing. So under 25,000 when it comes to the assets that you will be pursuing. But are you also looking at criminals outside of Dublin? Or what is the split, Michael?
So there's somewhere in the region of... over 1,800 targets throughout the country. So some of those will be, I suppose, they're smaller criminals that wouldn't be known nationally or be part of everyday news reports. And it's important for us to go after the smaller criminals because they impact as much on their local community as maybe a bigger criminal that's known. So the whole idea is to nip it in the bud, to stop them expanding and becoming a bigger criminal. So we go after, that's why we target their assets as well. And the Criminal Assets Bureau isn't just for the big criminals. It isn't just a Dublin-centric organisation. It's nationwide. It's for every community across the country.
A listener would like to know, do you offer rewards for information?
We don't, no. So basically, it is what it says, it's a good citizen's report. So you've seen something, you've heard something, and you want to inform the Criminal Assets Bureau to help us do our job to take the assets that have been criminally acquired by someone in your community. And that's our job to do.
Okay.
That.
Now, you mentioned, of course, the Nigerian case, and then you're dealing with the cryptocurrency cases. They will have a strong international element. So you're working with other forces as well throughout the world.
That's correct. We are in constant work, cooperation with Interpol and Europol. And you might have seen there was a case last year as well that we worked with the West Midlands Police, where there was a fraud, a business email compromise, and the funds came from England. They were used to purchase cars or sell cars here in Ireland, and then they were those funds were then repatriated back to the UK. So again, it's full-time cooperation between ourselves and other law enforcement agencies. We need their assistance, and likewise they need our assistance with investigations.
So there's the cash, there's the handbags and the coats and the watches, but there are really unusual items as well, Michael, that you come across. Take us through some of those.
So I suppose one of the more unusual ones last year would have been a gyroplane that one of our targets had.
What do you do with that?
Well, we auctioned it off.
Did you sell it?
We did sell it, yeah. We got somewhere in the region of about €30,000 for that.
Okay.
So again, that's all remitted to the state. You might have seen recently we had like high value saddles, again cherry pickers, that you'd see them in construction, in the cars you'd have maybe transporters as well, and machinery. But property would be one of the main things, and people, like when we go on a search, we tweet and we picture the bags and the watches, but there's also an awful lot of property that we take as well that you wouldn't be aware of until the proceeds of crime case is finalised. But there's a lot of that taken as well.
Would you be aware as a buyer that this might have been seized at some point down along the line by cab?
You would, yeah. So as part of the sales, there's a receiver appointed by the High Court once it becomes into possession of the Criminal Assets Bureau. So the person who's buying it would be aware that it was a cab property.
How is it possible to freeze someone's assets if they're living outside Ireland, outside the jurisdiction? Is it much more difficult for you to do that?
Yeah, so basically the legislation, the powers of the Criminal Assets Bureau, it's domestic legislation. So then you're asking other countries, and we've done that and we're currently doing that, to have a look at Claire Bourne, say, we think she's got issues of criminal.
I'm getting nervous now. You've mentioned my name so many times, Michael. It's the safest.
We don't want to use anyone else's, for example. And it's just, we assist other law enforcement agencies with their inquiries and they assist us with ours. We would point them in the direction of an individual and say, listen, this is a criminal. We believe they've got assets in your country, and they will look at that. Again, it's all done through Europol and Interpol and international treaties. And then they would say, right, can you help us make that case? And likewise, we would do the similar to them.
Okay, well, Michael, thank you very much for coming in this morning to tell us about a Chief Bureau Officer with the Criminal Assets Bureau, Detective Chief Superintendent Michael Gubbins. Thanks, Michael.